It's Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 The Hound.
Every day I think people are in a bit of shock as just trying to process some of the rhetoric and some of the actions and the repealing of human rights and civil rights that we took for granted.
Absolutely.
But now we can't take them for granted. And it reminds us that, as Patti Smith would say, the people always have the power, right? And,
yeah.
and the power of love is active, and it takes courage and it takes bravery.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Fiddlin' Around, and I am over the moon today to get to chat with the inspiration, Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter, poet, multi-instrumentalist, activist, it goes on and on and on, Allison Russell. Thank you so much for agreeing to chat with me today. Oh, my gosh.
It is such a pleasure and such an honor. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Where are you calling out of right now?
So I'm actually home in Nashville for 48 hours.
Oh my gosh.
Between tours and commitments. And
absolutely.
We just got back from Australia. Yesterday I was actually in Memphis doing a fundraiser for this incredible, incredible dance conservatory and collective called the Collage Dance Collective.
Wow.
Which is the largest Black-led conservatory of its kind. In the country outside of the Harlem one. So it's
wow.
It was amazing, so
yeah.
Inspiring. And I leave tomorrow for the All Returners tour. We kick it off in Vermont, sold out show at the Higher Ground in Burlington on the 30th.
So, wow. It sounds like your cup is very full. Wow. Lots of good things coming your way. And the jet lag must be insane. So I'm so thankful to get to have you here today. Yeah, I actually got the honor of seeing you in person at the Railbird Festival back in 2024. Oh my gosh.
So you braved the storm.
I did. Oh my gosh. But the storm waited for you. It really did. Oh my gosh. It was sunshiny during that set. It was beautiful. I swear.
Was so joyful. And I remember it started to rain and it was rain shower with rainbows.
Yes.
Like multiple rainbows.
It was ridiculous.
I remember everyone being just so beautiful and loving and dancing and, together in the sun and the rain and the sun and the shower.
Oh my God. It was transcendent. Seriously. I mean, it was the most perfect way to get to experience you live in person. And I've been a fan for a while, since I've started my show back in 2022. So it's a really wonderful full circle moment to get to talk to you today.
Well, it's an honor to talk to you, and thank you for listening. I do not take that for granted.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, well, I mean, with all the incredible milestones that you have had just in the past few years, let alone your entire career with, the many nominations and your Grammy Award win for Eve Was Black, which is one of my favorites. Yes, there she is. She's right there.
I'm shameless. I'm like, look at
this. Hey, I have this thing. Oh my gosh. And many, many others. I mean, Grand Ole Opry debuts, of course.
So the Grand Ole Opry debut, I will never forget, it was May 28th, 2021, and we are headlining the Ryman for the first time. Guess what? May 28th.
Oh my gosh.
And it's also 2 days before my birthday, so it just feels like this wild full circle of this incredible journey since Outside Child was released.
Yes.
In 2021, to all the doors that have opened, all the incredible collaborations.
Absolutely.
And coalitions and circle growing that's gone on since then. I feel so grateful, and it's also quite surreal.
Yes, absolutely. That's an infamous day for sure. I mean, I'm sure next year it'll pop up again in some way. That is just,
we're gonna have to do something special to commemorate it.
Absolutely cosmic. Oh my gosh.
Maybe we'll launch the book tour on that.
Yes. Oh my God, you didn't hear from me. Oh my gosh. But this year has proven to be another new frontier for you. I mean, you just finished up in February an incredible Broadway debut in Hadestown, Living It Up on Top. Oh my gosh, what a warm, incredible experience. And following after Yola too, what a legacy.
And Lana Gordon, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
In between Yola and I, and she is incredible. And I said, Yola was amazing, obviously, but I have to name Lana, because she really, I shadowed her.
Wow.
She really taught me the ropes, and she's unlike Yola and I, who are musicians, she's a real Broadway.
Yeah, she's an actor.
And she taught me so much. So I'm really grateful to her.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
It was so amazing. I am someone who, I ran away, I had to leave home very young because of abusive circumstances. And I never got the opportunity to go to university. I started working, and then I was raising my little brother, who also had to get out of that home, you know? And then I was on the road. And so I really felt like getting this kind of dream beyond, honestly, beyond, I never dreamt of even being on Broadway. I didn't think that was for me. And this is my favorite musical in the world, you know? And Inez Mitchell is not just one of my favorite writers on the planet, but she's become a dear friend. You know, I've heard her sing Why We Built the Wall in 2008.
Wow.
Pre-concept album at a little folk series called Sings Like Hell. You can't write this stuff. Called Sings Like Hell in Santa Barbara, California. And then to watch her evolve this piece, what she called at the time a nerdy folk opera she was working on, about the myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, you know, to watch it evolve into Hadestown from concept album to off-Broadway to Edmonton to London, finally to Broadway, taking the Tonys by storm. It's still the only musical to ever win Best New Musical at the Tonys that was both written and directed by women. Obviously wrote all the lyrics, all the book, all the music, and Rachel Shavkin, the visionary director, you know, and that partnership that continues to grow. They just did the pro shot in London. I just went and saw Hadestown in Sydney, Australia while we were there. We had a night off. It was like this miracle. We had a night off, and I got to go sing with their incredible queen, Eleanor Roccobato. And we had so much fun. We duetted Our Lady of the Underground.
Oh,
and
then my
rainbow position, and I went to the show, and it was so surreal. Like, we to step out onto that set, because it's the same set, right? And it was just...
Takes you back in time.
So magical. Oh. It was so surreal and magical. That whole experience was so intense. Like, my tangent was, it felt like going to university to me. I really treated it that way.
Mm.
6 years of... It was 6 weeks that felt like 6 years of intensive rehearsal. And for me, as a, you know, that was not just my Broadway debut, it was my acting debut.
Yeah.
The last time I was on a stage was in the 10th grade playing Oberon, King of the Fairies.
Of course.
Teen
yes, Oberon.
Great, you know what I mean? So it was like, this was a big step up.
Totally.
and learning the choreography was terrifying. They have Hadestown, the entire ensemble, both on stage and off stage, are extraordinary, and they're also incredibly caregiving and great teachers. So I was so lucky to learn the choreography and the role from Tara Jackson, their dance captain, who is also a swing that plays every track in the show,
incredible,
including an extraordinary Persephone. Brandon Cameron was he's one of the again, like, total superstar swing that was my Orpheus in rehearsals. Max Guy was my Hades in rehearsals. Casey De La Cruz was my Eurydice in rehearsals. And she's now just taken the role over from Haley Kilgore because Haley had stuff, which we hope, I hope Haley's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm so happy for Casey because she's
exciting.
Just such a star.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, all of that entire company, it was the discipline, the rigor. It really is like an ultra marathon athletic event to be part of a Broadway show with that much dancing and choreography. I loved it though, you know? So it was 6 weeks of intensive training, 8 weeks. My contract was 15 weeks, 8 shows a week, and I never missed a show. And I'm super proud of that because I feel like I went into it wanting to learn everything that I could. And I feel like I was just really starting to understand who this character was at the end of the run, but hopefully one day I'll get to re-embody her in some other, you know, we all come together magically again.
Exactly.
But the cast that I started with too, Jordan Fisher, Maya Refico, Philip Boykin, the incredible, great, you know, grand dame of Broadway, Lilias White, as a Hermes. It was just, it was a truly like these geniuses that I got to learn from. And I feel so lucky and grateful to have had that experience. And I've been bitten by the bug.
Oh my gosh.
I definitely want to do theater.
Absolutely. Yeah. We have to have you back. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Up on the big stage sometime soon. That sounds absolutely life changing. Oh my gosh. It only makes perfect sense to have such a light like you put into such a light of a show like Hadestown. I mean, it's still changing lives every day on Broadway here in New York.
It is.
Totally.
On Broadway and in Australia. And
exactly.
It's going to open in Amsterdam. The touring show is. And apparently it is the fastest growing high school musical, like teen edition.
Yes,
not just across America, but globally, internationally.
Absolutely.
So I'm so, like, just proud to have been part of it, and also so happy and proud of Aeneas Mitchell and Rachel Shopkin and what they gifted all of us, you know, this work.
Heart is so full.
Generational work that's going to outlive us all.
For sure. Yeah, and I mean, going off of that now, you've also just, in terms of generational work, you just released your newest single with Annie Lennox. Oh my gosh, talk about generational inspiration. Oh my gosh. It's called Super Lover, and it was just released.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
I love her so much.
Can you talk a little bit about what your first meeting with her was like?
It was wild, Calista. So it was at Joni Jam at the Gorge a couple summers back. So this was after Joni had done her surprise return to the Newport stage. I got to be part of that because of my magical sister, Brandi Carlile, inviting me into that just surreal dream. And Joni had so much fun, she wanted to do into the show. So she announced the Gorge, it sold out in 10 minutes flat. And we did this beautiful staging where, you know, every time we do the Joni Jam, we make the stage feel like Joni's living room. So every 20,000 people that come have been invited into her living room with her. And so it's all these like gorgeous kind of brocade and velvet couches and chairs. And Joni sits on this kind of like golden throne. It's amazing. And so there's Joni in her golden throne. There's Brandi in the matching chair next to her. And in the middle, there's this velvet couch just behind them. And in the rehearsals leading up to Joni arriving, because we the whole Joni Jam band, we rehearse to make sure we have everything down so that when Joni comes, it's just inspiring. There's no tough slogging it out for her. We want it to be as easy and happy and great as possible for her. And then she tells us what she wants, likes and doesn't like, and changes the set list, and it's amazing, and it's all work, and it's just beautiful and joyful. But so I get to the first day of rehearsal. We had 3 days of rehearsal leading up to Joni getting there. And Brandi ushers me onto the stage. She says, okay, you sit on this green couch. I'm going to have Annie and Sarah come sit by you. And I was like, okay, cool. I assumed maybe Joni's nurse's aides, maybe her childhood, you know, because at Joni Jam, it's not just the artists on stage. It's just people that Joni loves. It's, it's like recreating the jams in her living room and making her feel comfortable. So sometimes it's her grandkid or, you know, her friend from Montreal, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
But so I just assume anything, and I'm sitting there putting my clarinet together, you know, looking over the notes and making sure I know my parts, and out walk Annie Lennox and sit next to me on this green velvet couch at the Gorge. So we're looking out over one of the most stunning views you could have ever of this Columbia River, this Columbia Valley Gorge. And there's Annie Lennox sitting like right, and it's a little kind of a love seat couch
over your shoulder. Yeah.
Okay. They kind of mushed together.
Wow.
I was just like, don't freak out, just
keep it cool. Oh my gosh,
whatever that means. But it was like within 5 minutes I felt like I had met family, long lost family. Like Annie has that gift of, she is such a, you know, I think of Sinead O'Connor's universal mother idea. Like Annie is that. She's obviously this iconic, towering artist of the ages. She hasn't lost a note. She looks so beautiful and vital and brilliant. And writing writing incredible new songs. She and Wendy and Lisa have a trio, and they have a new album coming soon, and I'm so excited for everyone to hear that, but also so honored that she chose to have the first recording in over 8 years be Super Lover. Like,
absolutely.
That is just, you know, publicly released. And, you know, she is just, she's such a kindred spirit. She's so loving. She's very motherly in her energy. She's got two beautiful daughters, you know, grown daughters. And so she just treated me like her little sister, you know, or someone, or another daughter, you know. It was just like, I love her so much. And we were so aligned on so many things. She reminded me a lot of on my mom's side, my maternal grandmother is Scottish and had a similar accent to Annie's, and like, Annie's way too young, obviously, but she reminded me, you know,
absolutely,
Isabel, just in her manner and her elegance and her grace, and I just love her so much. And we really hit it off, and then we've done several Joni Jams since. You know, we were all at the Grammys together last year at the 66th afterwards. And then we did two nights with Joni at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yes,
in
yes.
October, actually in the midst of, I was in the midst of my Hades.
Wild.
Rehearsal process, so I had to take a just go do that and then come right back.
Oh my gosh, whirlwind.
But it was so worth it. And Annie and I asked her then, like, would she maybe consider singing this song with me? And she said, yes.
That is so special. Oh my gosh. And this is such a special song too. I mean, I was just looking through the comments of the music video, which is also just so specific and beautiful and carefully done.
That's amazing. Cool. We have to shout out and cool for that. He did it in a few hours in the one day we had together. I flew into LA on my dark day Monday from Broadway and did it in a few hours. And I flew back that night to be at the show on time on Tuesday.
Wow. You know? Oh my gosh. What an operation. But it's changing lives, really. I mean, the comments, there were just so many people that were so deeply affected by this. It's an audacious call to love, truly. And it's so much of what we need right now. And we need a super lover.
There's any audacity to loving, the fact that we have to, like, justify empathy and compassion and love and forbearance and forgiveness and inclusion, that's somehow demonized right now, is so overwhelming, and it, you can be paralyzed from the sort of horror and fear and surreality of it, right?
Yes.
Like, every day I think people are in a bit of shock as just trying to process some of the rhetoric and some of the actions and the repealing of human rights and civil rights that we took for granted.
Absolutely.
But now we can't take them for granted. And it reminds us that, as Patti Smith would say, the people always have the power, right? And
yes.
And the power of love is active, and it takes courage and it takes bravery. And it's, you know, when we agree with someone, it's not hard to love them.
Mm.
When they think we're less than human, it's hard to love them.
Mm.
But we still have to. We can't descend to that level of inhumanity to one another.
Absolutely.
Know?
Thank you so much for your bravery and inspiring others to be brave. But one more question for you. I know we have to wrap it up. So you're going to be at Webster Hall come May, which is super exciting. Sure. You'll be up here in New York with us. May 6th. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm sorry. It's circled with hearts on the calendar.
Oh my gosh. I can't wait to get to come.
I'm home now after being there.
Exactly.
I've never been anywhere.
Are you serious? Oh, so
yes.
You're a New Yorker, I guess.
The longest consecutive time I have spent in one city in my adult life. I started touring at 17, and I have not ever been anywhere for that many weeks in a row.
That is so special. Oh my goodness. So Webster Hall. And then one more question before you take off today. Who are the super lovers in your life?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Brandi Carlile, Annie Lennox, Hozier, Mavis Staples. Mavis Staples, can we talk about, she is maybe the super lover of the planet.
Of
Valerie
life.
June, have y'all heard her new record?
Yes.
Super lover on this planet, a magical, Nora Jones, super lovers. So many. And of course, you know, they're the super lovers, Patti Smith, but who have gone on, like Roberta Flack, the ones who are still with us that we're so lucky to have, like Tracy Chapman, she's a super lover who, helped me survive my childhood. I don't know that had I not heard her debut album and heard Behind the Wall and understood that I wasn't alone in this world and having this experience of domestic violence at home. Like, there's so many, I think of, you know, and all of the people that do the everyone that works at Collage Dance, everyone here in Tennessee on the ground at Tennessee Equality Project, at Inclusion Tennessee, at Out Memphis, at the Tennessee Pride Chamber, all the Justin Jones and Justin Pearson and Gloria Johnson and the tiny but mighty progressive caucus here in Tennessee fighting the good fight for equality, for just basic human rights.
Yeah.
Which are sadly, you know, not a given right now.
Absolutely.
And I just think there are so many, the teachers, all the teachers at my daughter's school,
yes,
navigating every change and sort of deprivation and demonization thrown their way and rising above and beyond for the students, you know.
Absolutely.
It's all of us. It's you. It's you're curating a show where you're amplifying and uplifting voices of artists who are doing harm reduction work. Well, I ultimately think all art is harm reduction work. Like that is, it's
completely.
It helps us connect. It helps us feel our shared and equal humanity on this one precious living planet that we know of in the entire universe. You know, how many billionaires try and have a space race. This is the only living planet that we know of in the universe, and it is so precious. And I hope one day it breaks through to some of these folks who actually have the power to really protect the planet if they wanted to, and really do, you know, a carbon reversal work, sustainable farming work. I think of everybody at FarmAid. I think of everybody in community radio. I think of everybody engaged in very, very active mutual care right now, for example, to make sure women have reproductive rights so that they don't die of ectopic pregnancies. In states like Tennessee, where the abortion ban is so extreme that we literally have women dying of ectopic pregnancies, like it's 1895, you know, it's, but I don't give up hope, because I've been taught by those who come before, like James Baldwin and Audre Lorde and Octavia Butler, you know, and bell hooks, so that we can't give up hope. We have to continue engaging in the next good thing that we can do, in one little piece of harm that we can reduce, you know, and that can be just buying someone lunch, or me picketing, or it can be, you know, we all do that in different ways, right? Be protesting down the Capitol, or it can be, you know, smiling at someone who's having a hard day. Like it doesn't have to be all these little things exponentially add up to a transformed existence. And of course it starts internally. It starts with our consciousness and our heart starting to open. And I have to remind myself to never give up hope on anyone, even if they're have been, you know, brainwashed and indoctrinated into believing in bigotry and division and oppression. Those people can learn and change. They really can. You know,
it's a lesson in humility to be able to do that. I mean, to not pass judgment on these people. I mean, because
we become that which we repudiate when we engage in that kind of hateful rejection and sort of the divide and conquer mentality that is wrecking the planet, you know?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for everything. I mean, you're inspiring a generation, my generation, me, every day. And I know I'm about to tear up, I swear.
Inspiration, all the beautiful candy that people give me at shows.
And oh my gosh.
And they say things like Super Lover and Persephone and the healers are healing and Eve was black and you are valid. I wear these to remind me and give me hope.
Absolutely.
And I have so much hope because of Gen Z and the alphas. Y'all are indigo children as far as
we've
I'm concerned.
We've got it. We have got it. I mean, you
know, things around that we've all messed up and
we're in this together, Allison. We are. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
We're trying. No.
We're doing our best, please. Oh my gosh. Well, Allison, thank you so much for joining me today. She's on her Albert Turner's tour. She'll be at Webster Hall on May 6th. Oh my gosh, Super Lovers is out now. Go stream it everywhere. Thank you so much, Allison. It's been my greatest honor to get to talk to you today. And I wish you all the best on your busy, busy week. And I'll see you next month. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Our honored guest. Thank you so much for sharing about the show. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Fiddlin' Around, and I'll see you next time. You've been listening to Fiddlin' Around on 96.1 FM The Hound, and I will see you next week. Roll on. Ow, ow, ow.